Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum is presented by Compassion International, one of our first sponsors and partners here at Sports Spectrum, and they've been with us for 4+ years now. I love what they're about. I really do. When you're talking about sponsoring a child and releasing them in Jesus' name from poverty, I mean, no child should have to go through any kind of poverty situation, and unfortunately, so many are doing just that. When you go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum, you'll see a list of children there, and some of them have been waiting for a very long time, for more than a year, in some cases, 450-plus days. Kids from Haiti, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Ecuador, Ethiopia, they are just waiting to be released from poverty, and the situation that they're in can be dire. But you can make a difference. You can go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum right now and sponsor a child in Jesus' name. Food, education, medical care, vocational training, all in the name of Jesus. That's what comes with your $38 a month child sponsorship. Check it out at compassion.com/sportsspectrum. Compassion.com/sportsspectrum and pray about sponsoring a child in Jesus' name.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com. Podcasts, articles, devotionals, great resources, all available for free at the website, sportsspectrum.com. And when you're there, click that magazine icon, and a great opportunity for you to subscribe to our Sports Spectrum magazine, a great resource, a perfect gift for the kids or that person who loves Jesus and loves sports. It's the holiday time coming up soon here. If you're thinking about a gift, I highly recommend our Sports Spectrum magazine. It might be the best thing that we do here at Sports Spectrum. The magazine is actually what started this ministry back in 1985. By Dr. J. Julius Irving, and here we are in 2022, and the magazine is still a big part of our ministry. We think you guys will absolutely love it. You can subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com and click that magazine icon and subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine at sportsspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, we get to talk to one of the great college basketball coaches of all time, Homer Drew. Homer was the former Valparaiso men's basketball coach from 1988 to 2002, and then again from 2003 to 2011. 640 career wins as a head coach, led Valpo to NCAA tournament bids in 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2002, and 2004. And that special, that shining moment of a year in 1998 when he led Valparaiso as an assistant coach, Scott Drew, you might know him. That's Homer's son, who coaches Baylor now. He was an assistant, and his son, Bryce, was the player who hit the shot that put Valparaiso on the map in 1998, and they went all the way to the Sweet 16 that year. And all you got to do in the month of March is turn on the television, and somewhere along the way, you're going to see one shining moment, and you're going to see Bryce Drew's shot at the buzzer to help Valparaiso pull off one of the great upsets in NCAA basketball history. And the head coach, his dad, Homer Drew, is our guest right now on Sports Spectrum. Such wisdom from this 77, 78-year-old man. You're going to love hearing from Homer Drew. Let's do that right now, right here on Sports Spectrum. Coach Homer Drew, welcome to Sports Spectrum. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and thank you. An honor to be with you, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have you here. Is it okay that we call you coach, even though it's been a while since you actually coached?
You can call me anything you want, yes.
Well, it's great to have you here. This interview is going to be running right before college basketball starts, and it's great to be talking to someone who's been involved in the game for, gosh, more than 40 years. What do you miss most about coaching and being on the sidelines of a basketball game?
The thing I really enjoyed most was the practices where you got to know the players personally. And the thing I loved about college, Jason, was they came in as freshmen, kind of ooh, how I do this, you know, and glossy eyed and everything. And then by the time they're seniors, they know the whole system, they run the program. And so the maturity level and the growth of them in that 4 years is just awesome. But I really miss the practicing, because there you got to know them and you got to see the improvement in them. And then, of course, as a coaching staff, then you got a great deal of satisfaction to see each one of the players improve their own skill and their own development. And then to bring them together as a team was always kind of exciting. So that's the part that I miss, is that not the games, not the recruiting, but the actual practice where you really learn and grow with the persons.
Well, now you have two sons, both coaching at the Division I level right now. Obviously, many know Scott Drew from Baylor and your son Bryce, which I think a lot of people would know as well, at Grand Canyon University. How much fun has it been to watch them do their thing as head coaches?
It's been wonderful. The thing that I want the people to understand is that as a father, I did not push them or want them to go into coaching. In fact, Scott was all geared to go into law school. And I can still remember his senior year at Christmas time coming home, and he says, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Well, sure." So we sat down and he talked, and he said, "I'd like to really try coaching." And I said, "I think that's wonderful, Scott. After you get your law degree, then you can go into coaching." He goes, no, Dad, I would really like to try it now." And as only God's timing does, it's always perfect. We had a grad assistant position opening, and so we hired Scott, and he was my assistant for 9 years. And I really thank Jesus for allowing me to have him around so much longer than most dads get to have their sons. And then when he took the Baylor job, then we had another opening, and Bryce, who had just finished his sixth year in the NBA, was ready to make a transition. So we had an opening then when Scott left, so that allowed Bryce to come in, and he was my assistant for 6 years. So between the two of them, I was really enjoying being a dad a long time.
Yeah, that's such a cool thing as a dad, thinking about being able to be around their children, but do it not just to be a dad to your children, but also to work with them and teach them and then watch them teach and learn and grow with their own teams that they're working through. And certainly in 2021, Scott was able to lead Baylor to a national championship. And just thinking about that year, it was the COVID bubble year, right, in Indianapolis. Talk to me about what that experience was like watching that game and that opportunity happen from a dad's perspective, from your perspective.
The nice thing, I think, that you'll always remember 2021 as that COVID year and Baylor University winning the national championship. So it even carries more distinguishing information because of the COVID year, that you'll immediately think of the run that Baylor did. So that was enjoyable. But being at all the games, Jason, and just seeing the team get better and better each game, and the joy in Scott's book, Joy of the Journey, with joy meaning Jesus, others, yourself, really captures, you know, what they did in the bubble and how they grew as a team and grew together as a coaching staff and as a basketball team. It was a joy to witness from outside.
Yeah. And then I think correct me if I'm wrong here, but wasn't Bryce and his team in the tournament that year as well? So seeing them both in the tournament must have been amazing.
Oh, it was. And the great thing was that they were both in the same city. So Janet and myself got to see Bryce's team play and then got to see Scott's team. So it was really wonderful for us.
And to go back to the state that you spent, I don't know how many years coaching.
Very true. And the many friends from Valpo who came down to support him and to support Baylor University. So it was like a reunion, because a lot of our former players came down because they knew Scott as the assistant coach then. And then he was 1 year the head coach at Valparaiso. So it was like reunion for all the returning players to come and watch Scott's team perform. So it was really special.
Homer Drew is our guest here on Sports Spectrum, the former Valparaiso men's basketball coach. Also coached at Bethel. And we had your former I guess your former cohort, we'll call him Mike Lightfoot, who then succeeded you and went on to do amazing things at Bethel. We had him on our podcast recently, and that was how we got connected, and he talked about you quite a bit. I'm wondering, when you think about those years, those early years at Bethel, when you were just getting started and just trying to, you know, carve out a niche as a coach, and Mike was there as well early on during those years, what was that like for you during those early years before Valpo came and then, you know, sort of Homer Drew and, you know, Bryce Drew shot and all of that kind of put you guys on the map? But before that, when you're just grinding and you're doing your thing at Bethel, what was those years like for you?
Well, Mike Lightfoot was very important to those formative years. He was our first captain when I came and played for us and then went on to coach at Marion High School and then took my place and just kept getting Bethel better and better and better. So Mike was a significant part of our life, especially those first few years when I arrived at Bethel College. The other great thing besides the players we had at Bethel was that it was a great growing experience for our three children, Scott being the oldest, Dana, the daughter caught between the two brothers, and then Bryce, the youngest part. And Dana was an outstanding basketball player in her own regard. She led Toledo University to the NCAA tournament. And then she actually played professional basketball over in Europe. So because they didn't have the WNBA at that time. And now she's got her law degree and is working at Grand Canyon University in administration. So very proud of her, as well as the two brothers. But the three of them grew up when they were young at Bethel College. And one of the neat things, Jason, was that they thought their backyard was the basketball gymnasium at Bethel College. So I can remember we would be playing touch football. We'd play soccer. We'd roller skate on the gym floor. So we did a lot of family activities. At Christmas time, we would have families, the aunts and the uncles and grandpas and grandmas all come to Mishawaka, Indiana. And then we'd all go up to the gym and play basketball or some type of sporting event up there. So it became the backyard for our three kids. And it was a great time to grow and be a dad to them as well as be a basketball coach.
You mentioned your faith earlier. This is obviously a show about faith. Tell me about your walk with Christ and maybe how it fueled you as a coach, but, you know, just bringing those two together, right? We talk about the intersection of sports and faith with Sports Spectrum, the intersection of Jesus and coaching with Homer Drew. Tell us about that.
Great growth period at Bethel College. Through the chapel services, through our presidents from President Butler to President Bennett there, just as a growing into the word of Jesus and being able to take a team. And we started with prayer for practice. We would end with prayer at practice during the games. At the end of the games, we would pray the Lord's Prayer together. And then we would do a little Bible studies along the way. And so as the team grew in the Bible, so did their coach grow. So it was a very exciting time for me to realize that I was just an instrument, a tool for Jesus to touch other lives. And the most important thing, as you and I know, is not what happens down here, but what will happen forever in heaven. And how do we get to heaven? And what is Jesus? Who's the Holy Spirit? And how is God? How does the three work together? And it took me a while to learn that. And thank you for God for being patient with me. And obviously, as all of us know who are believers, the grace of Jesus is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And without it, I don't know where I would be, to be honest with you. Do you have a moment? It is, you know, the world might call it a come to Jesus moment, right? We hear that a lot. But for us as believers, I think there is a time when we all remember or recognize, maybe not just saying, I trust in you, Jesus, but actually giving our lives and submitting our lives in obedience to him. Do you have a moment or a few moments when that took place for you?
It was a good growing process for me. I was blessed with parents that had my sister and myself attend church. So we attended church early and we knew about Jesus. But until you get that personal relationship, that's a huge pivoting point. And that came when we had children. And to look down and to be able to hold Scott and Dana and Bryce, it was just amazing. How could this happen with an explosion? You know, how could this happen with a sperm and an egg that you have to look under a microscope to be able to see unite together? And then you have this beautiful child coming into the world. So that became a huge moment that there had to be a supreme being to be able to put this all together. So that's when I really started to read the Bible and get into the Bible and from there continue to grow. And it is amazing. And now I'm 77 and I'm still growing, you know, in the Word. And it's fascinating what you read one day doesn't mean anything. And a week later that, oh my goodness, it pops out. And, oh, that does apply, you know, to me. So my growth has been more of a steady, steady growth. But the turning point was having children and being very blessed to have a wife who really knows the Lord and having her talking and visiting and growing together with her.
Why coaching? Why was coaching a thing that you decided to go into?
Enjoyed playing sports all my life and went to college and played basketball for 4 years at college. And then it meant so much to me. I wanted to share that experience with others. So I did a master's degree at the University of Washington, Washington University in St. Louis. And part of my assistantship was coaching the freshman team. So really enjoyed interacting with players and enjoying the world of sport, but also seeing the growth in them and the satisfaction you get in helping others. And I think, you know, you go back to the verse in Mark or in several of the chapters where Jesus just says, I came to serve and not be served. And so that became a huge meaning in my life to serve others, you know, like Jesus has served us. So that started me off in coaching, and I started out in high school, and then from high school got into college. And gosh, it's been, Jason, probably about 46 years of coaching.
I love it. One of the moments that I think I found out about you, I'm sure many others from a national perspective, in 1998, I was just out of college and 24 years old. During that March Madness, I had just met my then girlfriend, who I'm now married to for 20 some years. And I'm watching March Madness as this big, huge sports fan, trying to figure out, you know, what I want to do. I knew I wanted to be in sports broadcasting, but didn't have that fully so formed yet. And I turn on March Madness and there's the shot. And I'll never forget where I was. I was at my grandparents' house, my late grandfather, watching March Madness with him. And I see Bryce Drew make this shot off this wonderful play. And suddenly one shining moment, right, for you. I would love to just dive into that for a minute in that 98 team. I didn't realize either when I was doing my research, you mentioned it, Scott was an assistant with you on that team. So you have your son as an assistant, you have your other son that's playing, and you're the head coach, and you have this moment. What stands out when you think about 98, that team, and then having that moment?
It's a thank you, Jesus, because he brought it all together for us. And yeah, in the stands was Dana and her husband, Casey, and my wife, Janet. So it was really a good family affair. The thing that I remember mostly about it, Jason, was probably, I think there was like 7 seconds to go in the game and we're down two and we're coming down kind of on a fast break. And Bryce has a wide open 3-point shot. We have a big 7-foot center by the name of Zorn, and Zorn gave him a little shuttle pass and he had a wide open three. And so all of us were very excited because I've seen Bryce make that shot in our backyard and in our arena at Valparaiso for years. So we're thrilled when he had that opportunity. And one of his dreams, Jason, was always to hit a game winning shot. And so I'm thinking, wow, he's wide open. The ball hits the back of the rim and comes off, and there's a scramble for the ball. And we end up fouling with 2.5 seconds to go, and we're still down two. And we don't have any timeouts. So one of my greatest joys as a coach is when the 2.5 seconds and there's a dead ball as we walk to the line, and Ole Miss was going to be at the line, that the players yelled over Pacer. And Pacer is our game-ending play that is the length of the floor. And each year we name it after a pro team, and that year it was called Pacer. So we were very fortunate that they missed the two free throws. And there was a scramble, and the ball went out of bounds. And then with 2.5 seconds to go, we had the ball, and we ran Pacer, which probably – was the best it ever ran, what we all saw on TV, because in practice we would practice it. And we wouldn't, a lot of people would say, well, how often do you practice? Oh, maybe once a week just to review it with them. And a lot of times it's 5-on-0s just so that we know where to line up, because many years you don't ever have to use the play. So anyway, when the players all yelled Pacer, it made me feel good that they didn't need a coach. They knew exactly what to do. And Jamie Sykes was the person that we had designated to throw it in. And that was a no-brainer because he played center field for our baseball team. So Jamie had a great arm. And so he threw the ball in, and our best leaper was a person by the name of Bill Jenkins. Only 6'6", but had great explosion, great hands. And so we lined him up at the free throw line, and then he took a couple steps back toward the ball, and Jamie threw the ball the length of the floor to Jamie about at the top of the key. And then he did a nice little touch pass to Bryce running down the sideline. Now on ESPN, which you're very familiar with, I see in the background there, that on their classics, they run it where you actually see the person defending Bryce. And he was Bryce was lined up on the sidelines, and the guy was up on him and denying him the basketball, which you should do. He was our leading scorer and leading assist person. And so Jamie faked the ball to him. And so the Ole Miss guy kind of came out like he was going to get the ball, was watching the ball rather than Bryce. And as he moved up, Bryce started running down the floor. So he had a couple steps ahead of the defender. And then Jamie threw the ball to Bill Jenkins, and then Bill caught it in the air. While in the air, he tipped it over to Bryce, and, of course, the rest is history, what we saw when Bryce made it. Now, what was interesting, Scott and I were right on line, and it looked like it was going to be short. And if you really watch closely, it does hit the rim, and it just hits the top of the rim and goes in. So we always said, well, that was the prayers of the building, just gave it a little more air to get up over the rim. But it truly was obviously a very exciting moment.
Yeah, it's one shining moment. It's that song that's been so synonymous with March Madness, and there it is. And all you have to do when March comes around is just turn the television on, and that shot's going to be shown. I think it was on the introduction to CBS's coverage. It still might be there for at least the last 25 years. In fact, it is the 25th anniversary this upcoming season of that shot, which must make you think, wow, time really does fly, doesn't it?
Oh, it doesn't seem like it's been over 20 years. You're right, Jason. And show you what a good coach. I thought no one would remember the shot after the year was done. I thought, you know, how fame goes down every year. You know, you kind of forget it. So I didn't think it would be remembered. But thank goodness. CBS always has the top shots, and it's always been listed by the fans as one of their top three favorites. So you are right. Every year we see it, and it seems like, well, it just happened yesterday, like you remembering where you were. So I've had many people that will say, I remember that. And that's the greatest compliment, that they would remember where they were when they saw that shot.
How many times do you think 25 years now you've seen that? I'll say the shot. Have you actually gone back and watched the whole game too? I guess would be another question. But how many times do you think you've gone over that game just because it's such a seminal moment?
Not that much. I watched it one time years ago. I love watching the last 5 minutes because we were behind and how the team stayed in there and grinded it out and had a chance to have the lead, and then we lost the lead. So it was kind of fun. The nice thing is when you watch the film, you know you're going to win. So you don't have to worry. And when I see the shot again, I don't have to sit there. Is it going in or not going in? You know it's going in. So that's the real enjoyment of it. Let me share one other bit of information. When the game was over with, we went in and you do a news conference. And one of the questions they asked me, why did Bryce dive on the floor? And if you watch it, he dives on the toward that free throw line and then the team piles up. And I hadn't had time to talk to Bryce about why the floor, except we started 2 7-footers. So I thought, well, maybe he saw both of them running to him and he wanted to live to play another game. So he went to the floor. But anyway, but walking out of the arena in Oklahoma City, I put my arm around Bryce and I said, Bryce, why the floor? And Jason, I had tears in my eyes as he shared with me, he says, Dad, it was the closest place I could get to say, thank you, Lord. And it was just, you know, Bryce realized it wasn't him, but it was God's power through him that allowed that shot to go in. And that was really touching.
And then the platform, though, right? To be able, it's what we talk about with this show so often. It increases your platform, which allows you guys to point people back to Christ. I just thought it was such a cool thing, even 25 years ago, but even now that we're still talking about this today in the fall of 2022, and yet there's still this platform that God provided because of one shot that allows you and Bryce and Scott, certainly with the platform at Baylor, to be able to point people to Christ.
Amen. And very thankful for Jesus allowing our whole family to know him as our personal Lord and Savior.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I want to ask you, going ahead a few years, it's funny, you retired, Scott took over, then he goes to Baylor, which we've chronicled that story, which is just incredible. When he decided to go to Baylor, you come back to coach and you coach for 8 years, but then you abruptly stepped down. And it was because in 2011, and I had forgotten about this, if I'm being honest, Homer, that you and your wife both were diagnosed with cancer. Tell me about that time, hearing that news, and maybe how God helped sustain you and carry you guys during that time.
Well, it was wonderful timing, not that we got the disease, right, the cancer, but it was for Bryce, because then Bryce was able to take over and become head coach at Valparaiso University, and from there to Vanderbilt University, and from there to Grand Canyon University. So I thank God in my prayers that he allowed me to live long enough to see the journey that he had and the plan that he had for Bryce. Both of us, Janet, myself, Janet had the much tougher cancer. She had bladder cancer, and then a couple years later, she had breast cancer. I had prostate cancer, but I had a heads up because my father had passed away with prostate cancer. So I had been getting twice a year check for prostate cancer. And so when the checkup came that I had some cancer in the prostate, we did a biopsy and that confirmed it. And then we went in for surgery. So I was there just one night. And the surgery went well, thank you, Lord, and to the doctors and nurses and that. And Janet had to stay a little bit longer because her surgery took 5 hours and they had to redo her bladder. And it was a very integral operation. But anyway, as the timing went, I was there the one night. And so we had date night where both of us are going down the hall with our IVs rolling right with us down the hall.
Wow.
So that was our date night in the hospital.
Well, I guess you find your date nights when you can get them, right, Coach?
And grab them there. And Janet's still going strong. She's cancer-free. And just thank all the people with the prayers and most of all our Lord and Savior Jesus for getting her through that.
Yeah, what did that do with your relationship with God to see how... Because not everybody pulls through that, right? There's tragedies and things happen in life, and we've all seen them. We've probably all had them close to us with family members or friends. He's got you still going here, Coach. So what does that do for your relationship with him when you've seen how he's been able to sustain your wife, to sustain you, and certainly watching all of your kids flourish. But what has that done going through a situation like that? Now, here you are, you know, a decade later in your walk with God.
First things you think about, why us? You know, why Janet? Why myself? You know, why are we doing this? We've been faithful. We believe in you as our Lord and Savior. So you kind of go through that step back moment, and then you learn to accept it because there's a reason, there's a plan that Jesus has for you in that. And so I think what the learning tool was for us was that you have to trust Jesus and know there's a reason, you know, for that. The reason so that Bryce could become the head job, the reason that Janet could share her experiences with other women to help them through difficult times. So then it helped us grow in our strength of the Lord, because there are reasons why things happen when they do.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't live long enough to understand them, but in our case, he's given us a chance to live some extra years to see things fall into place as to why.
Yeah, a pretty good why, by the way, watching both your sons and watching what God's done. It's pretty awesome that that we're still able to chat here today in 2022, Homer. My last question for you, and thank you again for the time. This has been wonderful. When you think about where God has you today, what are you learning right now from him? I think he teaches us something new every day. And you've been living this life longer than I have. And I'm always interested in terms of the wisdom of somebody who's a little bit older than me and been around the block a little bit longer. What's God teaching you? What's he showing you today?
Excellent question. I've been blessed to be on a COVID allowed us to do things differently. So we formed a Zoom Bible study. And so right now we're in the book of Matthew, and it's taken us 2 years, and we're only on Matthew 22, one about the parable of the feast. But what we have talked a great deal about, and the gentlemen are all 70 plus, so we're up in age a little bit, and some are pastors, some are missionaries, some are businessmen. I'm the coach, lawyer. So it's a real good combination of people. And what we've been talking about is to be a little bit bolder in our faith. In other words, asking people like, who is Jesus to you? Because there's not much time compared to our beginning time as to our end time. And so and it's hard, you know, because loved ones, you don't want to alienate them. You don't want to be like you're judging them, but you want them to be in heaven with you. So we have talked a great deal about the term evangelism, but just talking to people about Jesus and asking them a question, who is Jesus to you? And then from their answer, talk more just about Jesus. One of the interesting things is when I was growing up, it was always kind of taboo to talk politics, sex, and religion. Well, politics is everywhere now, and sex is everywhere now. So why can't religion join that? So anyway, that we hope gives us the boldness and the love. And the wonderful thing that we've also learned, Jason, is that as we bring up Jesus to others, we do not have to be the final case for that person accepting Jesus, because that's up to the Holy Spirit. And I've really grown with the Holy Spirit the last few years in the importance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that really convicts the person, that really lets them get to have the relationship with Jesus, not us. We're there just to kind of maybe expose them to Jesus, but then the Holy Spirit takes over. And that has been a very big growth for Homer Drew.
Well, it sounds like you're scattering a lot of really great seed on an awesome fertile ground, we'll just say, Homer Drew, all for the glory of God. Thanks so much for being here. This was a treat for me to be able to talk to you. Hopefully we'll get you back on again and talk some more. But thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
It was my honor and privilege, and God bless you and your family, Jason.
And many thanks again to Homer Drew for joining us here on Sports Spectrum, the former Valparaiso men's basketball coach, the legendary college basketball coach. A lot of wisdom there from Coach. I hope you took some notes. If not, go back and listen again and take some notes, because there was lots to take away, I think, in that conversation. First of all, the fact that the man is 78 years old and he hasn't stopped learning and growing in his faith. That encourages me as a man who just turned 49 years old, who is wanting to continue to learn and grow in my faith. You never reach that point, right? Until God calls us away on this earth, I think he continuously wants us to pursue him and to grow in a relationship with him. And talking to someone like Homer Drew, who's a little bit ahead of the game as far as where I am, I think watching and listening to him and learning from him that you can continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus was very encouraging to me. So glad that him and his wife Janet have that health that has allowed them to continue to live and to see their sons Scott and Bryce both do amazing things as college basketball coaches. Bryce, of course, Bryce Drew with Grand Canyon University, and Scott Drew with, of course, the University of Baylor, winning a national championship a couple years ago. And great stuff there from Homer Drew. Really enjoyed talking to him. We thank you as well for tuning in to today's episode of the podcast. Please click that subscribe or that follow button so you don't miss any more episodes of Sports Spectrum's podcast and conversations like this on the intersection of sports and faith. Check out our website as well, sportsspectrum.com. I mentioned our magazine at the top of this podcast. I'll mention it again. It makes a great gift this time of year. Thinking about what to get that person who loves Jesus and loves sports, consider subscribing and getting Sports Spectrum's magazine as a gift. You can subscribe at sportsspectrum.com right now for our quarterly magazine. Subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here, Sports Spectrum.